The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello.
Really?
Paddy's, Paddy shows his bare top. What's wrong with you, Pad?
I don't want to see that.
How do I turn it off?
I don't want to see that. Oh, he's trying to call Paddy, and he's just come to us with bare topped. Paddy, you're looking ripped these days, aren't you?
No.
You are?
No,
from what
not
I can
really.
See, you're looking really ripped. Ben, you obviously are, that's why you come to us. You know there's an audio call, and you answer on video bare topped.
Oh, sorry, how do I tell
that? Oh, sorry, let me just turn this off. Where's the video? How do I get this off? Yes, sorry about that. You've just seen my ripped physique there. Sorry.
Were you flexing as well, Pad?
Well, I was going to say, boys, happy VE Day. Happy VE Day, victory in Europe. Do you know what? I've just been reading something. It really touched me, actually. I was reading an article there, 75 years ago today, of course, don't you know, 8th of May, victory in Europe, celebrating. I mean, Germany surrendered, basically. And there's a thing I just tweeted out where someone said the last, was it, it's a correspondence, Bletchley Park, picked up, was closing down forever, all the best, goodbye. And that was from a German, obviously. And he said there was the arrival of the British troops coming across, and they realised that Hitler just committed suicide on the 30th of April, and they basically had surrendered. But it was mad, wasn't it? And we talk about, at the moment, we are in odd times, we are in lockdown, you know? And we beat Germany there. But I think now, we are again at war with a common enemy, all of us are, but and UK are winning again. So we are now the top of the league table for Europe on death. How do we even get here? I mean, Germany, annoyingly, Germany are way down there. What do you think about this, though? It's like, Paddy, you said, did you say on text the other day, saying a friend of yours not living in this country are getting images, you know, about the UK like we were getting images about Italy. Like, it's really a bad place to be. And that's odd from our perspective, isn't it? Because it's quite calm and we have capacity here, overcapacity for the NHS. But it's quite odd. And I thought, how did we even get this point where we are now the worst in Europe, you know?
I think stuff like sending a military plane to Turkey for a load of PPE that wasn't fit for purpose is probably getting some headlines.
I know,
sort of like but constant stream of
that's odd. Turkey's not in the EU, are they? So their standards are outside the EU. It's like, when you go to Turkey, when we go on holidays to Turkey, right? We go to the kids, we always buy these football kits. They're fake ones. You can get them any, you know, all the English kits they've got, anyone you want, Spurs, all that, with the names on the back, and they cost like a fiver or a tenner. And they're quite good quality, but they're obviously not the real quality, you know? And so it's like the rip-offs.
And the team name spelt incorrectly. And stuff,
Tottenham Hotspurs, yeah, something like that. But I was just thinking, right? It's odd, and I looked up, and I was very surprised by that. I knew Paris in France, you know, the Eiffel Tower. Eiffel Tower is the most.
I've heard of it.
There's a Paris in Texas, though. But there's an Eiffel Tower. the Eiffel Tower I'm talking about, the one in France, of course, is the most visited tourist attraction in the world. But I looked up, right, flights, because we haven't really shut our borders, and flights, right? And did you know Britain? Below Hong Kong and I think somewhere else is of Thailand, it's the third most visited by international tourists, Heathrow. And we haven't shut our borders. Yeah. And when you realise that there's a guy on the updates, on Downing Street updates, he's a short, stocky fella, he's quite cocky, and someone asked him about shutting airports. He said, no.
That's
Boris, no. But someone asked him about shutting airports, and he said something like, no, the thing is, when you talk about, you know, one or two people coming in who were infected, or it was a long flight over, and they may have had it in their country, and by the time they come over to our country, they probably haven't got it, or they're asymptomatic. It doesn't really matter, you know? I thought, what are you talking about? Your whole graphic
arrived.
I know, but exactly. This whole graphic about one person can spread it exponentially, can't they? If they pass on to two people, those two people pass on to two people, that spreads exponentially. So that excuse is ridiculous. I think we're at the stage now where, wouldn't it just be nice for government and said, you know what, we got this wrong. We really got it wrong. But we're trying to correct it now. And there's no BS about it. We're going to try and do this by testing like crazy. And even though the testings are all over the place. So it's like, I know it's unprecedented. But I do think there's been a bit of disorganisation at the top there, and I've not been impressed by it. You know, I've been impressed by Germany's. It's obviously easy to look. This, and the deaths, they kept saying, it's very hard to compare the deaths because people measure in different ways. So you can't really compare our deaths to someone else's. I bet if we had done the lower end of the scale, we'd be comparing it like a mofo, wouldn't we? If we were down where Germany are, we'd be like, look at you Turkey. Look, I know, we'd be saying, we're the best. Yes, yes. I mean, we would be comparing it.
It's definitely not good. Are they? The 30,000 is definitely not good.
No, exactly.
So just, we don't need to worry about comparing. We just know that we're not the best.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
To be fair, Sky News did do a comparison, though, on the population percentage over the number of deaths, and then we were second lowest then, so...
No, hang on, stop. If you get deaths per 1 million, per 1 million, I looked this up, and I'll do it now. I don't know what Sky are looking at, but if you do deaths per 1 million people, inhabitants, we're still not good. I mean, America, who's got, like, have now got 76,000 deaths, and we've got 30,000 deaths. Few deaths per million. Let me just scroll.
Yeah, well, so USA were the lowest in that chart. So, UK.
Yeah, but listen to this. Deaths per million, right? San Marino at the top. Belgium is second. Andorra's next. Spain's next. Italy's next. We're next. And we are literally, Italy's 495 deaths per million. We're 451. Spain is 558. So a little bit worse than us. But the other countries, they've got small populations, of course. But and France is next. But even so, Sweden are quite high. Actually, they've got a relaxed. Hey, relax, man. Sonny virus. Yeah, but don't worry, man. Just socialise, distance. But they, yeah, but they're not, America's way down the league there. But I'm just saying, we've got things wrong, haven't we? And we need to sort it out. But what's your thoughts now about? I mean, looking at the economy and stuff. Because apparently Boris now 7 p.m. He's a big fan of Winston Churchill, isn't he? Talking about VE Day. He wrote a book on him, and that's why he's got the same shape as him as well. Really, oddly, isn't he?
Yeah.
But maybe he starts smoking a cigar and stuff. But what do you think right now? As far as the economy is concerned, do you think we can still just start lifting lockdowns? I was surprised with this. I did a survey on Twitter saying, if the lockdown or when the lockdown happens now, are you going to go out and celebrate, have a drink, have a beer, have a meal, or something like that?
Nope. Absolutely not.
And you're not? Why?
No. I've got friends this weekend are saying, should we meet up and have a beer in each other's garden? I'm like, no, I don't feel comfortable doing that, and I won't for a while, I don't think.
Like,
it's obviously a nice thing to want to be able to do, but it's like we had 6,000 daily cases every day this week. Like, we're nowhere near past this. And whilst it's tempting to get back involved in that sort of stuff nice and quickly, it's, you know, I just don't think it's that safe.
Yeah, the cases don't seem to be going away, and the deaths don't either. I don't know, have we got... Are we basically an unhealthy nation? Is that what this is highlighting? I don't know.
To be fair, the UK is a hub. We should have known that. We are a hub. Heathrow, we are a massive hub in between America and Europe. One of the busiest airports. Heathrow is the busiest airport in Europe, and yet we didn't close it down. And so we've got people coming from China. Just check out when it first started. To check out the board, there's Chinese flights coming to the UK every hour, you know, full of Chinese people infected, most of them probably. That's right, I don't know most of them, but even one of them doesn't matter, you know, even one of them infected. And, you know, you get these flights coming every hour. Heathrow is a massive hub for Europe, people fly into Heathrow generally and then fly elsewhere. So
how many people are flying in on a daily basis?
They said, apparently, that's the tweet said yesterday, is 19 million international visitors a year into the UK, most of them coming through, obviously, London. And that is people who have to stay for more than 24 hours. And so that is, someone staying overnight.
How many in the last 8 weeks or whatever?
Well, I don't know. But
they said it was, a few weeks ago, they said it was 15,000 a day. So it's still quite a sizable number of people. I was trying to get my head around this new cases numbers, because is that staying level because the testing is going up? So actually, not more cases, it's just we know about more cases.
Yeah, there's always a lag, of course. But yesterday I tweeted out, I said, this is quite encouraging. I said, it's one of the first times there's always a lag, but testing is up. But infections and fatalities is coming down. So obviously, the more you look for it, the more you'll find. If you don't look at all, you won't find any. It's like Russia, don't test, no, we haven't got any. It's like or China. No, anyway. But so we did. Let's look. Yesterday was 67,000 people we tested altogether. 86,000 tests. That's people tested twice sometimes. So that's up 18% of people, up 35% of all tests. And yet cases were down 8% to 5,600, and deaths were down to 539. But still, we're not. You know, we're not on the last. We're not on the exit here, are we? It's still very active, but it seems to me.
No, then the other thing that's not talked about, and I don't think it's ever talked about, is actually what capacity are we at in terms of the NHS and being able to handle this?
Yeah.
Because that's the key, being completely mercenary, really.
It is the key, yeah.
You know, if we're saying, I mean, the Nightingale Hospital is empty, basically.
Yeah.
There's some capacity there. So
I think the Cardiff one as well is.
Well, yeah, they're all our problem, which is good in a way, but at the same time, it doesn't help because then we've got hospitals on lockdown, other key surgery and all the rest is not happening. But the capacity thing is the thing that's stifling.
The people don't understand that. Yesterday, this guy said, "Oh, it's just a discussion," and said, "Trump is the man. He's doing it properly. He's perfect." I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Yesterday, right? America had 2,500 deaths. That's one of the highest I've ever had. So they're still, getting a lot of deaths there. And yet, they under pressure. Of course, they are. There's protests to unlock the economy in areas where there isn't hotspots. And I think this is the way it'll have to go forward. If we've, and I'm quite encouraged. This is why I'm quite encouraged because." We're attacking it on many fronts now. We are prepared for a second wave, I believe, because we have the capacity now. Last time, we had to build it up very quickly. There's still problems with PPE and all that stuff. But hopefully, as cases come down, we can stockpile as PPE, ready for a second wave if it comes. We have the capacity of ventilators and ICU units. So we got that. That was the main problem. That's why we had to flatten the curve. Because if you paralyze the NHS, no one else can get in there. If you break your leg in A&E and the NHS is already paralysed, dealing with COVID, we can't get through. People with cancer treatments, anything, and people will not go into the theatres. I said, even people haven't been going to the doctors. You know, it's amazing how there's been so many people who would have gone to the doctors. I mean, some of them could be very serious, but others who just sniffle or cough or whatever, or a splinter, would say, "Oh, I'm not going to go to the doctors because I may get infected," which is not a bad thing. We scared people out of it because it's gone too far the one way now, isn't it? But now we've got the capacity, we can go back to normal, hopefully, and so we can unlock parts of the economy. But people have to realize it's still very infectious. Stay away from each other, wash your hands, because that's only two ways it's contracted. If you don't, you can touch it, you can put, I didn't realize this, you touch your face about 20 times an hour apparently, and that's the way into the eyes, nose and mouth it'll go, and you'll be infected. Yeah. So if you wash your hands and also breathing it, stay away from people. So this has to be law almost, I think, and then we can unlock the economy.
There is already, I think, complacency, isn't it? Because people just kind of get into that kind of, well, I haven't got it, and it's fine. And you just stop washing your hands as regularly and all the rest of it. So there's going to be that, and that's the threat then of the second wave, isn't it? Because that suddenly then breaks out again. So we have to control it quite carefully, but it just feels at the moment that we're stifling the economy.
They have to put adverts all the time on TV. They have to put signs everywhere. All the industry has to help with this, with stickers on the floor saying this is still very contagious. Updates all the time saying it's not gone. We're just going to try and get the economy working and trying to work with it for the moment. But I'm quite encouraged. Boris is doing this 7 p.m. Sunday night speech, isn't he, about unlocking the economy. Obviously not on Monday, but a phased, because I think Dominic Raab last week said that this lockdown is extended for 3 weeks. Officially, legally, they have to do that every 3 weeks because it's Act of Parliament. They have to give an update every 3 weeks, and so he's locking down for another 3 weeks. But you can be a phased lifting, and that will get the economy going. But
what were the results of your Twitter poll in the end?
Oh, yeah. So I was quite surprised. I said, would you go straight out and have a... He hasn't finished. It's a day's thing. But
I voted.
Did you? Okay, it's good. So I had... So if and when the lockdown is lifted, will you be going out to celebrate with a meal or drink? And 660 people voted so far. 45.6% said yes. 54.4% said no. So still the majority said no. And I think you get this, but it's amazing. When you're in a lockdown, it's like... It's an excellent reflection of the stock market. It's amazing how you can flip from being... bearish to bullish overnight just because the stock market rises, you know? And it's amazing how sentiment will change. Like you said there, people can start getting complacent very quickly. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to keep reminding people it's still out there. It can still kill, you know, vulnerable people in the society. So it's almost like, be aware of it. It hasn't gone, you know? And it's like that, isn't it, at the moment? This is what I'm saying about the stock market. Right? The stock market will rally because people are too bearish. Do you understand why that happens? Do you understand, Pad, Pete, Steve, why that is? Do you understand that? There's too many people being bearish. Stock market isn't going to fall when too many people are bearish. Do you understand that?
That's counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yeah.
So explain that.
Well, essentially, if it's easy to make money in the stock market, everyone will do it, right? The stock market never does what you expect. So you try and second guess. And then sometimes it doesn't do that. It may go sideways for a while if you think it's going to go up or down. So it can do one of three things, you know? But because everyone was very bearish, everyone has sold pretty much. A lot of people were in cash. I'm in cash. I mean, you know, a lot of people are in cash. So the majority of the herd are in cash. But as the
do
stock...
Do you think that, though?
Well, a lot of people have. You're selling at the bottom. Yeah, that's why a lot of people don't make money in the stock market. They sell when the fear is at the height. When the fear is at the height, most people then have sold. So yeah. A lot of people hold it. I know hedge fund managers, a lot of people are in cash. They've got a large chunk of cash on the sidelines. And as long as that cash is there, the market isn't going to go down because everyone who's sold, who wants to sell, has sold. So even small buys, you know, will push markets up, will push stocks up. One big half-decent buyer coming in small stocks, it'll push it up because there's no sellers anymore. Because obviously when the market's in the middle, you have sellers and buyers and sellers, bulls and bears fighting against each other. At the bottom of a market, you don't pretty much. You only have the bulls, you know. So that'll push it back up. And now, when it gets to the top now, people say it's over. But the trouble is, people don't care that. People think the market's going higher.
The buyers are buying from people. They're buying from market makers, you're basically saying.
Yes, but normally there'd be a seller on the other side.
Yeah.
At the moment, there's lack of sellers because people are starting to think. And there was plenty of sellers before. But now, as the market rallies, people get more bullish and there's less sellers. And then you know, the market goes a little higher. But all of a sudden, once all the buyers are in, once cash levels are low, that's when the market starts to fall. Because, you know, all you can do then, all the majority can do is sell. So the fear and greed index, if you look at it, you know, hit, I think it was like 2. It was a little index is a good dial you can look at. And I've got I did punch it out. I've never seen it that low before, 2. I think it may, and consequently, that was the time to buy. And that was around about March 23rd, the market bottom. But that it's really hard to buy then because everyone's literally running around chucking themselves out of windows, you know? So if you have a... And that's why...
Why is it hard to buy then? Because everyone's selling.
No, what I'm saying is it's mentally hard to buy. If everyone's telling you this is the worst recession ever and... You know, and the stock market's imploding. Get your cash now. Put it under your mattress. That's the only thing. Or gold. In fact, people didn't even trust gold in the dash of cash on March 23rd. People were selling everything. And they say, you've got to get your cash out now. You know, nothing's going to be worth anything in a few weeks' time. So
I'd be interested in you doing a Twitter poll on what percentage cash people are in their portfolios now.
Yeah. I did do that for a while. I regularly sort of did it every month before. And
it'd be more interesting now.
I gotta say, being impressed with Paddy Politics, right? Paddy gets loads of politics, bad, isn't he, Pad? But he's gone to Paddy Portfolio recently. I didn't realise this. I love spreadsheets, you know. As you get older, I think you appreciate them more. That's a sign of age, I think. But you get to appreciate this sheet. But I didn't realise you could drag in live data into your spreadsheet.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you can drag it anything.
Yeah. Human sheets is quite impressive.
Yeah. And so now that portfolio thing, we're doing that managed portfolio, 3 stocks, pretty much 9% overexposure. You can get the spreadsheet on website, and I did a video on it. I've got sort of closing prices on there. In fact, mine is sort of 20 minutes delayed prices, which is quite decent for a spreadsheet. Yeah. So they update throughout the day. And so if you've got any other problems with other you know, service providers, for example, you can just look at your spreadsheet and it's normally... So where they come from? Is it Google Finance, I think, are they from?
Yeah, it's just
FTSE
data.
So, Pad, here's a question for you. Is there a way... Because I know, Justin, you updated my documents, so it's got the live prices. Is there a way of working it so you can put in your... you can update your total portfolio amount and then it work out all the other sums for the percentage.
Yes.
Yeah,
that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yes. But what I didn't realise, Steve, essentially, you know, all your, you know, Harry and all that stuff. You know, the background basically, is a spreadsheet, isn't it? It's basically,
For some reason, Harry and Larry don't give you a percentage.
Well, they won't do that, Steve. No.
No, Steve.
Which is bizarre because that's quite a handy thing to have, really, isn't it? But they, for some reason, they don't supply that.
Yeah,
they do what Barclays one, don't they?
Harry and Larry will give you as little as possible. They don't want you giving. Don't give them information. That's dangerous. You give the punters information, they'll know they're losing money, and they will not buy shares. So, you can, I mean, with Barclays, I can download it, my portfolio, just into a spreadsheet, and it comes out of that, you know, percentages, losses, gains,
yeah,
all that stuff.
You can do that with Harry and Larry.
Oh, can you?
You can download it, yeah.
Onto a spreadsheet, yeah?
Yeah, like CSV file or whatever, yeah.
Okay. By the way, just going back to the thing recently, I have a couple of people complaining about COVID. I find it really hilarious, people whinging on social media about this new NHS data app, the data that's going to be collected from them.
I think it's brilliant.
And I know, but I thought people whinging on social media saying, why did the government want to collect our data? They're on social media. I said, you're insane. You've got Twitter, Facebook, Google, all these people, you know, for their commercial benefit, know more about you than anything else in the world, and your missus or your family. And yet you're whinging on Twitter about this NHS app, getting your data.
The only people who can moan about this are the people who have any social media presence whatsoever.
Yeah, or don't have a mobile phone.
Or a Tesco club card. They know everything about you anyway.
I know, it's ridiculous. I just say the tip of the iceberg. And the NHS, okay, it doesn't matter where your politics lie, you may say the government's evil and they may run nick your data, but at least it's trying to benefit you on a health level. These other companies, they don't care about, they just want to make money off you. That's all. They're selling your data. You are a product to them. That's all you are. And yet they're on social media. Why is they using this app? Are you insane? Get off the grid then. Just get off the grid. Don't come on social media whinging about it. They know now. You whinging about the NHS app. They know, full stop, that you do not take any data. They know what gets you passionate. They know what we're arguing about. They know more about you than anything.
I saw someone moaning that they would know his friend circles by looking on the app.
Yeah, why would they?
Well,
yeah.
So what?
Just look at your Twitter account, mate. They've probably got Facebook. Yeah.
And also, they're probably the same people are going out into the parks at the moment and having barbecues still with their friends and go around each other's houses.
That's why they're trying to hide it, probably. But exactly. They can see exactly what you're liking, what you're commenting on, what argues you. They can see what gets you going. They can advertise exactly to you based on that. You know, if you like a cat, you know, playing with a cotton wool ball, they know you like cats. You know, if you like some food, they know what food you like. They know everything. They know where you are. And you worry about this app is trying to break this, you know, pandemic, you know, ridden virus. And you're worried about, I'm not joining in that. No way. They may know something about me. Well, you simple fool. Anyway. And I said this woman on the Isle of Wight, because they tested on the Isle of Wight. And I didn't know this. I'm living on the South Coast. But Isle of Wight has got a reputation, you know, of being a bit. It's a good place to use it because there's a suggestion. There's a lot of people related to the Isle of Wight.
And so, is that the reason?
Yeah. So this lady said,
"Are the ferries still running?"
No, I don't think. I think it stopped them. Yeah. So it's
completely an isolated island, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's quite clever.
Yes. Yeah, so it is quite clever. I thought it was quite clever. So Britain, you know, if you look at some of the engineers and tech entrepreneurs in this country, we've got a lot of genius in this country. But I feel we need to use them more in the government. We've got a lot of people in the government who have never actually worked in industry. No, or very clever. And that's the trouble, you know. Yeah. So, you know, they're pioneers. They've come from this country. They've created, you know, amazing things in the world. And yet, you know, the internet, for example. And yet, you know, we seem to be fluffing up at certain levels. Anyway, this woman I talked about on Isle of Wight. They're asking people on the Isle of Wight what they thought of it. And this woman said, I don't like it because they're going to be using it as guinea pigs, aren't they, really? They'll be using it as guinea pigs.
For what?
Yep.
I thought, guinea pigs do not use apps, you fool.
That's exactly why they're giving it to us. They were pretty open about that.
Anyway, looking at did you know I mentioned Halfords last week? And I didn't. Yes. I I've been watching it for ages. Really sold off, and it's really oversold a little bit here. It's rallied crazily this week because they're coming with some news. They come out with news. Anything you release these days, any hint of positivity in it. The rallies, like Halifax said, we, you know, we're quite busy because a lot of people are trying to buy bikes, you know, and the NHS workers are trying to buy bikes. Bike to work schemes are 200% more popular than they were this time last year. Our sales are down 23% from this time last year, so down a quarter. They've rallied by about 35% the share price.
Yeah, wow.
So, so I didn't miss out on that. In fact, one of the guys, Mark, who listens regularly, said, oh, I listened to your Halfords mention last week. I bought some this on Monday. So he's done well.
Well done, Mark.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking, right, what, I think you've got to start looking at now companies that will do well, you know, regardless of whether this lockdown is here or not, regardless of whether we find a vaccine or not. That's the problem. And I quite like where we are at the moment because we're attacking it on all fronts. I quite like that story about the blood plasma. Did you see that? The NHS is doing this blood plasma from people who've been infected. We now know, we're pretty sure, you build up an immunity, which is very good news. Because if we didn't build up an immunity, we'd be knackered. But it looks like we build up an immunity. South Korea is saying the same. And so you get the plasma from people who've had it. You inject into people struggling with it or not, you know, and it immunises them to a certain extent. So you've got that. You've got people fighting on the vaccine. Again, a UK company, the Jenner Institute, Oxford, is very confident about testing on patients in June already. They've got hundreds of people coming on board. And normally for a phase one, you don't need hundreds, but they are testing doing very well. And the kind of thing the guy was so confident about, he said, it's worked in chimpanzees, pretty much, this vaccines. They're quite, so all they're worried about this moment is not the success of it working, the efficacy, they're just worried about the safety of it. And so it's got to be safe, of course. You don't want people killing off having side effects. So they've got that. They've got about 70 companies around the world looking for a vaccine. You've also got antiviral drugs that will help, you know, people cope with it a lot better. So it'll lessen up the time in beds. I just think, I think we've got herd immunity close to. I think we're close to herd immunity. I know all the figures.
What are you basing that on, Justin? We now go to Professor Justin. Justin.
It's just a thought, mate. Just thinking about it, you know. I've just got a thought.
It's got to be.
So I've been thinking about it, right? And I think we got herd immunity. And it'd be good if they were a professor, wouldn't it? And he spoke like that, Professor Dave in Cambridge. All right, mate. Yeah. What's your thoughts? I think we got to score herd immunity now. You know. When you think about it, our socialised with missus, she socialised with her, she had a cough, it's gone to the missus, wife, you know, mother, and it's done, isn't it? Yeah? And how do you know, though? For example, so if you look at the amount of people travelling around the world, right, you look at, we didn't know this thing existed in January, end of December. Didn't know it existed, 31st of December, or at the end of the year. By then, we're in a city of 11 million people, 1.5 billion in China. It'd been going around, let's be honest, for a while. And the doctor that discovered it was told to shut up about it, and he died of it, which I think is awful. That just gives you a measure of the Chinese, you know, system there. But I just think this thing spreads like wildfire. Before we were washing our hands, when people were coughing in each other's faces and sneezing, when we were happy to do that, sneezing in each other's faces. Do you remember that? The good old days?
Happy days.
Yeah. This is travel like wildfire. It's gone everywhere. I think we were underestimating how many people have had it. Now we know we've got immunity to it. So anyway, in conjunction with all these other things, we don't know how many people got it. I think it's 10 times. They're saying 10 times as many people have had it than we thought. Plus these other things. I'm quite confident we'll be back to normal pretty much this time next year, you know, economically.
And it's just the mutated version that then comes along, isn't it? That's the problem.
Yeah, but when I say that economically, I mean, businesses will be open, they can open. I think the problem is here, like Pete, you tweeted that thing from the Bank of England saying this is going to be the worst depression in history since the last depression, you know, or pretty much. And that's understandable, isn't it? You tweeted
WhatsApp.
So the Bank of England said it's going to be the worst drawdown ever, pretty much in our living memory. And I think, well, it's no surprise, is it? And everyone's looking at the job figures. America again now is another 3 million last week, 33 million unemployed. So we know that because you shut down an economy. We know this is going to be, the figures are going to drop through the floor. We know that. That's not the point. So why the market has a problem here, I think, is, and I keep going back to this, you know, induced coma that the economy's in, and likening it to a patient saying, okay, so if you put a patient in an induced coma for a long time, how fast can they recover? Will they recover to 100%? You know? Doesn't matter how much drugs you pump into. So it's not, even though the V-shape is happening in the stock market, the real economy won't happen like that, because businesses will be going through, because we know businesses still have bills of fixed costs, and yet they're not receiving any revenue. So some of those will go through. You have a higher unemployment rate, not as high as it is now, as initial figures suggest. But even with more people unemployed, there's less people buying stuff. So the growth would be slower.
The Bank of England obviously are saying, yes, it's going to be sharp and deep, but a quick recovery is what their prediction is.
Yeah,
and you were just saying there that, the market looks like a V-shaped recovery at the moment. But is that what we're thinking now? Because going back to Halfords and the other ones, like Boohoo, they're like all-time high now.
Yeah.
It's like, that's kind of nuts, isn't it? From where they were, if you bought in at 150 or whatever when it crashed at the end of March, well done you. Because my overriding feeling at the moment is I keep missing out on all. I've missed out on quite a few of these.
The ones that
we've talked about.
Yeah.
And Halfords and whatever is a good example. Talked about, that could be an interesting one. It suddenly rallied. And then are we saying overall there's worse to come? Or are we going to see a short, sharp recovery like the Bank of England is saying about the economy?
No, but they said it'll go down by what? I think it was 30%, and then it'll grow by 50%. Anyway, but the growth will be less. For example, if your portfolio drops by 15%, 1.5%, it has to go back up by 18% to get back to break even. If it goes down by 50%, you have to go up by 100% to get back to break even. Yeah. So it's gone down a lot. It won't make it back to previous levels. So the growth will be slower and it won't be as bubbly. But of course, but first of all, forecasting is very hard. No one ever gets it right. From the IMF, you can employ lots of people. They never ever get it right because there's mutates, things happen, evolve, change, things change. But if you just look at every year, we have a 10% correction pretty much in the markets, right? There's always opportunity. That's why, even if you wait for the 10% correction, which takes most stocks down, you'll get a better entry. So I'm not buying anything here. I mean, in fact, Greggs is coming down. There's a nice level here, but I can see Greggs going down to 10 quid. I mean, we haven't had any financial results from these companies yet. So let's wait until this comes out.
What about Halfords? What about Boohoo? All these people that have they've just rallied so quickly and strongly. You're like, wow. And I haven't jumped in. I've been sensible. But at the same time, you go, potentially... Are we going to go and revisit those lows?
Well, you should never buy after a rally, should you? For example,
I've been very sensible, but I'm now starting to feel like, have I missed out?
No, if you get into Boohoo and all that stuff, I mean, the best thing to do is on a drop, and a big drop for some reason, I guarantee most of these companies will have a warning. And the way they are at the moment, like I said, Boohoo is priced to perfection. It's back to where it was. And you think, are you seriously saying
it's higher than it was.
Yeah, and are they seriously saying they've had no issue at all during this lockdown? And I don't believe that. I want to see. And in fact, do you know what? Just wait. When a bomb explodes, you got to look around and see what happens. A bomb's exploded yet, but nothing's fallen to the ground. It's still up in the air. It's like, let's see what these companies report. Let the financial reports come out, because we are now only 12%. The S&P, or the NASDAQ, is at levels it was at before the pandemic. To a certain extent, of course, you're the big tech companies doing well there, and they hold it up. But there's a lot of companies. Now, the FTSE is only I think 18% down. 18%. Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, really? So I don't think we're going to go straight back. I think we're going to retest here and come over, roll over, and we'll see.
Because nobody, i.e. investors and everyone that's piling into shares, or not everybody, but the people that are buying shares, nobody knows for fact what the impact actually is. So it's all just guesswork, and people are just buying into a Boohoo or Halfords or whatever. But you're saying ultimately, when the big black hole appears actually in the account, that's when people actually will see the reality, and then we'll see a pullback.
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, obviously you watch my videos religiously, but I did a chart.
I did
a chart there about where the rally will happen, didn't I? And I said, what you'll get here is the lifting of the lockdown, euphoria, economy's going back to normal, you get stimulus, we'll see the market go back up like this. But then, once the worry about COVID-19 drops down and that we may have some solution to it, you're still left with the financial fallout. And you're still left with a lot of companies who got the balance sheets are shot apart, going back to a World War II analogy, shot to pieces. And so you've got holes, big debt, no revenue. And so we can't price companies at levels of pre-COVID-19 when their balance sheets aren't as good, anywhere as good, or they're not earning as much profit, surely. So even if you look at, we do have a correction once a year, that's a 10% correction. Just wait for that, wait for normal times. But wait until you see what the state of these companies are in at the moment before you just jump in? Because if you've missed the snapback, no point jumping in now. No point jumping now. You've missed it. No. So, Boohoo, like I said, is now Boohoo's an all-time high. I think, hang on a sec. There's a better time to buy than an all-time high, you know? Even on a pullback. And they will have every company that's a pullback. If you look at Boohoo's chart, it hits the 200-day moving average regularly and then takes off again. So just wait for that. It takes time, it takes patience, it takes discipline. But the most important thing is about buying is getting the right price, you know? And it's like companies like, I was looking at Peloton, apparently, and Ocado have done very well. I should have had the foresight to even... But even now, they're on my watch list, you know? You never miss it. There's always pullbacks, and they normally come when people are not expecting them, and that's why having patience and not chasing the rally pays off. Do not chase it. But there's still stock markets. They're market of stocks, isn't it? Don't... even Warren Buffett lost $50 billion. He never loses money. No. He sold his airlines as well. I think, you're absolutely right. Do you see Aer Lingus? That was hilarious, Aer Lingus. They had a jam-packed plane going from Ireland to London, and then a passenger took a picture of it, and they said, oh, right, sorry, listen, our utmost priority is the health and safety of passengers and our staff.
It's the balance sheet.
And I thought, did you not know that plane was fully booked until someone took a picture? Because I assume you know the levels of people getting on the plane. Because otherwise, it'd be standing room only, you know? Full now. You know? So, yeah, but sooner or later, they're going to have to, you know, start using social distancing or take the seats out or not. And even then, you're breathing in the air. Everyone else is coughing out. So it's impossible to social distance safely on a plane. So Warren Buffett just sold his airlines. He got out all of them. And I think, yeah, but I'm just thinking this. Listen, there's better times to buy than now after a strong rally. That's all. Patience, it'll correct, and we'll see it. And we've got there's a lot of financial reports coming out the next, you know, for Q2. Q2 is the big bombshell.
Bombshell.
Yeah, bombshell. Bombshell. It's worth waiting to see what comes out of that. Because
it's quite war related today, which I suppose is appropriate. But
let's see what comes out of that, because companies are not going to be fit and healthy, and they're not going to be at where they were previously. I don't understand how they can be. So even when the euphoria has died down and all this stuff, we'll see them coming up with, and there'll be months of bad reporting, months of it, not just a week or so here, months of it. Because let's be honest, most companies are not going to get back to full growth until 12 months, pretty much. If that, you know?
But it's having the foresight now, isn't it, to kind of go, right, Halfords, for example, that's a good business, and having an idea that, I mean, they're saying it's going to be better than expected.
But hang on a second, Halfords is not a good business. It's not been doing well for ages. That's why they've had a new CEO and turn it around, bring down the debt. They've had issues for a long time, you know? So it's probably in a better place now because other cycle companies have gone through.
It's a good business now.
I mean, it's like, relative to the share price. Do you know what? I was watching it for ages. I just want to see their final, because Chris Bailey came on the podcast talking about it. But even now, you know, if you look at Halfords' share price, right, they're at 151. They're at nearly 50 pence on March the 20th, a big sell-off. March 17th of March, they're at 52 pence. They're at 151. They're almost a triple bagger there. They were at 360. So going back. 2016, they're at £5.20. So they've rallied strongly now. RSI is at 80. When you get RSI up to 80, do not touch the stock ever. It'll come back. It may roll to the side, but you're better off letting it cool down a bit. But
So my point is, like, the foresight now, thinking ahead. So you're kind of, I'm not saying Halfords is necessarily one that falls into that category, but you've got an idea of those stocks that you kind of go, these are the ones that, regardless of how bad it drops, you know it's a good company, so you are going to buy into it. Like, you know, you take the emotion out of it and go, have some price targets in terms of, right, if Greg's falls to, like you said, 10 quid, absolutely, I'm going to buy it because I know it's a good company and it's a long-term prospect there, and now I'm going to take advantage of that. But having that foresight now so that if it does drop, you're prepared and you're ready to go in. Is that kind of... I haven't got that at the moment.
But I think that's why I was saying about automating. I was looking at charts and automating. I was thinking, what's best here? Is it best to do a conservative, you know, projection of Greg's on an average PE of what they've been, you know, traded on for years and years? And I think it is. Mm. Or go with a chart momentum. But if you go with a chart momentum, like I said, always buy when the RSI is going up in momentum, it could come back still. But if you base your forecast on sound... you know, fundamental, like, for example, Greg's made 108 million pre-tax profit last year, 108 million, right? And they were valued on close to 30 times that earnings of 25 to. And their average is a very high PE. Now, if you say, okay, let's say they do half that this year, and then they get three quarters of that next year, and you average that out, and then you still put them on a low PE, then you get a good price. And you for Greg, surely, because it's going to go back to normal, isn't it?
Well, yeah, eventually, wasn't it? Yeah. And they've got deep enough pockets to withstand the pressures that are coming or are on them now.
Yeah.
And so, yes, they'll come out as winners, you would think, overall.
There's a bit more weakness in Greg's price. That's what I'm doing. I think, listen, if you look at that, if you say, let's say they go back to, earning 100 million profit in 3 years' time. You're okay accumulating now, but that spreadsheet I did, it's actually, if you do 10% dips or 20% dips, automatically buying there and say, I'm buying at a decent price over the long term, it's a good value. Then you look at it that way, that's more sustainable than just trying to guess the chart, So I think there's lots of companies now, like I said, big customer bases, good management, good businesses that you can, uncertain in the short term, but let's be honest, mid to long term, Greg's is going back to becoming a winner, isn't it? I think.
It may take
a long time. But again, you've got plenty of time to scale in. These companies, we will have bad news for months and months and months financially. Once all the stimulus is out the way, job figures coming out and all that stuff, and the COVID's died down a little bit, we still have bad financial fallout. The financial fallout will last for months. So there will be opportunities along the way. No need to rush in now. I know it's so hard to sit there with cash. I find it very hard. But, you've got to just have patience because there's always opportunities. Even on a normal, year, you get a 10% correction every year anyway. That's the time to buy on these companies, when there's a big sell-off, when there's a sale. Every year there's a sale in the stock market. So sale on, buy now.
But then things like the banks...
Sale on, sell now.
Things like banks are looking cheap, aren't they now, I think?
Yeah.
I mean, and you've got to take a long-term view. I know they'll have impact, interest rates and currency fluctuations, all the rest of it, they're impacted by
loans,
all of that stuff.
Some banks have a lot of impaired loans. I tell you what I like, actually, a section of that. And I told you, I mentioned Begbie's Trainer on the podcast a while back and also on the videos about their litigation. There's quite a few companies in that area, and they're worth looking at. There's going to be a lot of litigation, insolvency litigation going on, and they're worth looking at as well. But I think things like Peloton has done very well. Peloton in America. I've never felt the need to go to a gym, have you, and exercise with people?
I used to, but in the last probably 5 years, I haven't. I've used my,
funny enough, I cancelled my gym membership just before the COVID thing, so I'm done with gyms now.
And I think a lot of people will still be wary now because you're sweating, and if you actually see the spray that comes out of people's face, if you look at your treadmill after you run, there's spit all over it. And I'm thinking, I understand why Peloton's doing well, but I still never feel the need to be in a class group of people. I run the treadmill every day and I just watch Netflix on my own. Right? That's fine for me.
But also, a good week for me, we've been going to the gym like three times a week, whereas now I'm doing like 20-minute HIIT session like almost 6 days a week, which is far more productive than anyone got the travelling to the gym and travelling back then.
So that's where I think this is the final point we've been banging on. That's where I think there's a slight change, isn't there? There'll be a slight change in the economy, the way people do things, I don't think people like Greg's will be hit so much because people still have to go out to work and buy stuff and, construction workers and all that, office workers will still be there. But people will work more from home. Mm. But things like Ocado and deliveries, people now, like Amazon, I started really getting addicted to Amazon about a year ago. And I've even now put the widget on my, which is deadly. The widget on Firefox.
Desktop.
The browser, yeah. So it tells me deals, tells me when it's been delivered. Rather than having to look at an email, it just pops up there. Ocado, people like that. People like Peloton, which is an American stock. But even Health Foods, it's a slight change, isn't it? You'll see an uptick, I think, in these kind of industries now because people do not want to get on public transport to go to work. Mm. They can cycle, they will,
Well, if you take your statistically significant Twitter poll there as the litmus test, broadly speaking, half of the people are saying, I'm changing my, I'm not rushing out to go drinking and restaurants and all the rest of it and all of that. That side of the economy, all those kind of luxury items, if you like, half the people are saying, no, I'm going to stay at home and do it at home, probably, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, so things will change, of course. Sentiment changes, of course, slowly. But yes, but I think a lot of people, it's like Zoom and all that, people are working with, I just fear for a bit like WeWork, you know, the office rental. There's so many people now realise, so many companies realise, we don't have to have this massive capital, fixed capital overhead of an office in the city of London or city of Birmingham, whatever. You know, we can have it. We can hire an office once a week if we need one. But, you know, we can do everything from home. So there'll be a shift in trends a little bit. And it's like looking at people who will, like the guy from Peloton, of course, is the CEO, said, we don't see this as they've had a rise in figures and stuff, and Netflix, of course, have. So we don't see this as a one-off. It may dip a little bit, but we see this now as a cyclical change. People are generally, they've programmed us into their habit, and it will stay like that for a while. Some people go back to normal, but we're going to see more traffic generally after this. You know, people are going to train at home more and not go to the gym. People are going to go on their bikes more.
But also, you know, and people's lifestyle and flexibility of working hours and all that stuff is all going to change for a lot of businesses, because people are... It's been a good experiment for a lot of companies, because they're able to go, oh yeah, this actually works. You don't actually all have to be in at 9 o'clock or whatever.
Okay, boys. Right, this is your. I'll give you a couple of seconds. Think of a company, any or sector that will generally benefit from this, that you can get exposure to in the stock market, because that's what you want. You want a cyclical, not cyclical. I mean, what's the word? Opposite of cyclical, which is a long term benefactor of Lydia. This kind of change of this year. So what do you think would change? I mean, looking at our lifestyles, this is what One Up on Wall Street, Peter... One Up... It's worth reading that on Wall Street. What's his name? Peter Finch? Peter Lynch. One Up on Wall Street.
Peter Lynch.
Peter Lynch, couldn't think of it. It's a cracking book I read years ago. It's well recommended. It comes up very highly in investing books. It's about how the average day person can look at trends that's happening around them, what they're doing, and then start buying stocks in that area, because they know it's very attractive. You know, we knew years ago Amazon was going to start doing well, because we started getting more and more Amazon delivered. And then you ask someone else, yeah, I'm getting it, Amazon. And then you realize, hang on, if I'm doing it and they're doing it, you know, it's going to be doing well, you know. And literally, Amazon, even in the last couple of years, you've done very well on Amazon stock. And so it's like things like this. What are you doing now? What are other people doing now? You know, not particularly in lockdown, but what will change? And that's what you've got to look at. What will benefit from this longer term and get exposure to that area, you know? And I don't know if you've got any examples, but Halfords is sort of one, I think. I think biking will see a boom from this.
Well, yeah, literally all my friends have all gone out and bought, like, decent hybrid bikes. Like,
have they?
In the last couple of weeks, yeah.
See? Funny. That is ideal. Now, dip in Halfords, because they'll come out. They've got 50 to 50 million profit in this year. You know, a PE of 10. That's they're 500 million. They're only valued at half at the moment.
But do you know what? In saying that, just the whole biking thing, there's a reputation, like, in the biking world, like, no one would ever, anyone who's buying a half decent bike wouldn't buy it from Halfords. No, like, none of my friends would.
I know,
they do stock Pinarello these days, though, so they are a bit better.
But they are known for buying a 100 quid bike that falls apart in a year's time, isn't it?
No, hang on. I got a bike from there. Steve, go and check it out recently. I don't know if you've been to Halfords recently.
My friend did buy one 2 weeks ago and literally had it for a week and then chucked it in the bin.
Yeah, it's a cheap one, though, isn't it?
Well, no, but that's the thing. That's
I went to Halfords. Whenever I work in Cardiff, and I went to buy a cheap bike to cycle from my flat in Roth there to Red Dragon right before I moved to the Bay. And the guy said, it was like, cheapest bike I could buy, mountain bike, it was like 79 quid, I think it was. He said, don't get that. I said, listen, it's their hard work. He said, honestly, get a decent bike and, you know, it's worth it. And literally, I ignored him. Took it back a week later, said, can I have a decent bike? And do you know what? They got some decent bikes. I got a Chris, what's his name? Chris, what's the guy's name?
Chris Boardman.
Chris Boardman bike. That's a decent bike.
It's they did stock Pinarello, but they don't now, I'm looking. But yeah, Boardman, they stock Wiggins.
Are their prices quite competitive then with like other bike shops then, or are they?
They got more range than any other bike shop because they are the biggest. But it's like, the thing is, families will go there because it's their first stop, first bike, my first bike, isn't it? The kids.
Yeah, well, I think for that it's perfect, but it's a bit like the PC Curry's World kind of effect. You know, I would never buy a computer from them because I just don't think they've got any knowledge. You know, I'd go to somewhere like John Lewis because they got specialists who actually know about what they're talking about.
No, do you know what? I genuinely, every time I go to Halfords, I've been so welcoming and so helpful. And I say that because I bought this bike.
Maybe I'm wrong then.
I was surprised by it. And literally, they did things, didn't charge me once, and I said fine. And it's literally like a local shop, the guys there were really helpful, and I don't know.
Yeah, I know what Steve means, speaking as a cyclist.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit snobbery.
Well, it is. I know everyone I know that cycles, you know, I mean, over the last 20 years, have been like, yeah, we don't go to Halfords to buy stuff generally, you know. We probably don't even go to Wiggle, to be honest, online, because, you know, Wiggle's a bit like Halfords, really, to be honest. There's a lot of other bike suppliers that you wouldn't even know. If I said Merlin Cycles to you, you know, that doesn't mean anything to you. But in the cycling community, you use them to buy, they're quite good for component, all that, blah, blah, blah.
Is that because they're cheaper or just more knowledgeable than Pete?
No, it's just more the range of stuff and the stock. Okay. The brands that they stock will be generally higher than the ones. But Halfords is a brilliant mainstream, you know, cycling, car accessory place. Absolutely, yeah. And that's where, going back to stocks and shares, that's what you got to look at. The people I'm talking about are never going to be, you know, million-dollar companies, because they're niche kind of cycling spaces and sell expensive bikes. Yeah. Way more than Halfords, but
it's worth looking at their breakdown of their revenue, though, because it's retail, auto centres, and all that stuff. They got, you know, people will go into them to have their car service and all that stuff. So it's because they're a trusted brand kind of thing. They're a brand, aren't they? People easier. So they got a lot of things going on. It's retail, is motoring, is cycling, it's all different things. But I don't think it's a perfect business. It's not going to be growing. It's not a fast grower, but it may do. You know, because of this, that's what I'm saying. It's definitely not a perfect business. It's not like a, you know, it's not your boo-hoos or that. But there we are. All right, then. But so what I want to say is, just keep your, think about what we're doing in our daily lives. Like Peter Lynch said, he called it One Up on Wall Street, how the regular Joe can, or lady or, you know, housewife can understand trends better than analysts can, because she's doing it, her friends are doing it. Then hang on, look at this stock. Well, we're all doing this. And then you realise, and it takes a while for it to be reflected in the stock market, because it takes 6 to 12 months before they start reporting these financial figures. Then people don't catch on to it that quickly. Just looking at our lifestyles.
Just very quickly, one I had just thought of, which actually became overwhelmed when we were into COVID, was the things like Fresh and you know, like the home delivery, fresh ingredients things. Like, I know you couldn't actually sign up to them just before the lockdown because they went crazy, you know. And I've had them. I'm not sure if you guys have ever tried them, but they are amazing, to be fair. And quite good value for money when you get them on the good price deals.
Yeah. Or you ring a roast.
Or ring a roast.
Don't forget that, Steve, your local plug there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a friend's business he's never actually used. Yeah, it's it's lovely. He never actually used it, but it's gorgeous. Absolutely.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, you know, that's a good thing to look into that. I mean, there's a company I saw growing quickly.
There's a few of them.
They're not listed, though, are they? They're not listed, are they? That's trouble. Maybe, though, one company will be investing in that. Maybe one company will list like that. It's worth looking at. The market leader. Once they get listed, then they can leverage that sort of access to capital and become the big market player, dominant player, you know? Anyway. Cool, guys, have a nice feed day. What are you doing? Megan's gone nuts for it. We've got bunting out, Fred's doing a speech, Monty's doing a poem, we got sandwiches, we're having a proper, you know, VE day sort of, you know, picnic and stuff.
Shame about the lockdown, I would have come down for that.
Yeah, Fred's doing a Winston Churchill speech. It's quite touching, actually. Obviously,
is he dressing up as him as well?
Yes, we give him a cigar. He says a treat, we can have him smoke a cigar. And he can give everyone the V's, which is good. But he, you know,
That's that. Yeah. No, I'm just doing I'm doing a bit of a VE party tonight, obviously, online on Facebook Live. So tune in.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, I'll tune into that, Steve. If I'm not hammered, if I am hammered, you'll know. I'll just be asking you to take your top off these times.
Yeah.
Steve, come on, VE day. If you're not going to take your top off on VE day, come on.
Yeah, paint a Union Jack on your chest.
Yes.
Nope. Nobody wants to see that. I'm not. Yes. I haven't got the physique of Paddy.
I tell you what. You say this. How many people do you normally get streaming? 100. So if I get 200 streamers in one go, top's coming off. You said that right at the start, Steve. It will spread like wildfire. If I get 500, the bottom's coming off. If I get 500, everything's getting off.
And then I get blocked from Facebook.
That was it. You went up with a bang. Literally.
Come on, that'll be a fun thing. That'll keep people watching as well.
It will. If you get to 200,
that's actually really good.
200 gets top
right
off
at the start.
So if I get 200, you need a bottle of wine beforehand, Steve. It's 200, I get my top off. Just say that. Go on, Steve, and stick with it. It's all right.
You need a bottle of rum to that.
Just say last song, I'll get my top off. The last song, so you don't have to do it for long. Last song, if I get 200 screamers, I'll take my top off the last one. That's a tease, Steve. That keeps people tuned in.
And lead it into the Vera Lynn, we'll meet again at 9 o'clock. Yeah,
yeah,
great.
Top off, we'll meet again. You wake up the next morning. Did I really do that last night? Oh, no. That'd be excellent. I'd love that.
Come on, Steve.
Go on, Steve. Go on, Steve. Everyone listening to this, I release this now. Everyone listening will tune in. That'll be a good thing. Say yes, Steve. Go on.
I'm not saying yes, no.
Stevie
Jingle on Facebook. Yeah. Find his page. Yeah. Yes, Steve, come on.
Stevie Jingle, yeah. Lovely. All right, lads, I look forward to Steve's nipples tonight. Yeah, V. Hey, a V and an E under each nipple. Yay! Yes. Victory Europe.
Union Jack at bottom.
Yeah, right in the belly button. Right, lovely. Cheers. Bye-bye. All right,
see you there.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.